Chapter 13 Stone Heads and Agile Fingers.
Stone Heads!
Ravel cried. He held up his hands at a complete loss. Those were Hunsrin soldiers Kiri had set into position along the House Thoerden perimeter, and House Hunsrin was no ally of House Zorlaren. Their rivalry had grown particularly cold since Matron Mother Xerath had established Kew Zorlaren, a city set to facilitate trade with the surface and thus rob Matron Mother Shakti Hunsrin of her most important resource, her house's great commerce.
"Just soldiers," First Priestess Kiri Zorlaren calmly corrected her younger brother. "House Thoerden is in need of soldiers, and so I have collected some."
"Without asking," Sarabel said. But a threatening look from Kiri quieted her.
"Should I beg permission from Mad Matron Mother Darthir, who doesn't even know her own name?" Kiri spat in retort.
Off to the side, Tiago started to chuckle, but he held his hands up, desiring no fight, when both Kiri and Sarabel cast him threatening, sidelong glares. The arrogant Bayenri brat was rather enjoying this sibling spat, and she expected that he'd soon enjoy it much, much more, right up until he was killed.
"You are not alone here," Ravel dared to say to the First Priestess of House Zorlaren. "And not without allies who know better the lay of Menzo Berenzon and of House Thoerden at this time. Silence, Mael!"
Kiri snapped at him, reaching for her whip. Ravel was so shocked, his eyes seemed as if they would simply roll out of his face. Jameis and Sarabel, too, gasped. That was not a common phrase, tone, or attitude in the house of Matron Mother Xerath Zorlaren. The ever-angry Berylip had used that tone often, and Berylip was dead.
"Yes," Kiri said to the dumbfounded stares coming back at her. "The times have changed. Lady Loth demands it of us."
"Matron Mother Xerath," Sarabel started to say,
"is not here,"
Kiri finished for her.
"But I am Kiri, High Priestess, First Priestess, eldest daughter of Zorlaren."
"Yes, and your elder, the male Sabrak, is Archmage of Menzo Berenzon,"
Tiago Bayenri put in then, a not subtle reminder that Matron Mother Bayenri had installed the Zorlaren wizard into that post. And by extension, a not subtle reminder that Matron Mother Bayenri had created House Thoerden as well.
"House Hunsrin is no friend of the Bayenris," Ravel dared to add.
"And allied with Matron Mother Mesbaris Armgo and the second house, by all accounts," Tiago added.
Kiri started to respond, but bit it back and just chuckled instead.
"Send them away," Ravel demanded. "The mere presence of the stupid Stoneheads will anger Matron Mother Bayenri."
Kiri continued to chuckle.
"And worse," she admitted. "There are rumors that House Hunsrin has allied with House Melarn."
The other three Zorlarans and Tiago all glanced at each other, taken aback by those words, given that Kiri had let soldiers of House Hunsrin right into their compound. Had she brought in these soldiers as a ruse, then, to steal some of Shakti's soldiers so that they could be sacrificed by House Thoerden? Was it something else, some underlying pact that none of them knew about?
"Rumors," Kiri said with a laugh.
She reached into a pouch and pulled forth a trio of small spiders, or so they seemed. She dropped them to the ground, the others staring in confusion, their eyes gradually widening as they realized that these were not spiders.
"Rumors," Kiri said again,
and she turned and swept out of the room. At that same moment, even as all four in the room began to protest, the arachnid creatures grew, blossoming to full size. The four drow remaining in the Thoerden audience chamber found themselves engaged with Malarni Driders.
"Be wary, and with your hands near your weapons," Jarlaxle told his companions.
He rose from the table and moved quickly to the bar, arriving there at almost the same time as Braylon exited the common room.
"Did you catch the conversation?"
Entreri asked Drizzt, referring to the hand exchange Jarlaxle and Braylon had shared under the table. Drizzt shook his head.
"It's been a long time since I've conversed at any length in that manner."
"Something about the way to House Thoerden being open," Entreri said, leaning in close.
"But if that is the case, then why the warning?"
And Treri's nod signaled to Drizzt that the mercenary was returning.
I have secured us a room, Jarlaxle announced. Come. We must rest quickly and make our plans. The other two exchanged curious looks. Their plan, after all, was to come into the city and go straight to House Doerden, the reasoning being that the less time they spent in this land of drow, the better. Certainly, if any of them were recognized, their mission would become much more difficult. Drizzt started to ask a question, but Jarlaxle gave him a curt little headshake as he swung around and started for the staircase, the other two in tow. There weren't many rooms upstairs. Indeed, the place hardly seemed to be an inn. And when Jarlaxle pushed through the door, they came into a comfortably furnished room with a pair of decorative swords hanging above a stocked hearth, cushy chairs set in front of it. Jarlaxle swung back and pulled the hesitating Drizzt into the room before he quickly shut and bolted the door. The lower class of inns, as one might find on the stench streets, didn't typically have doors that could be locked from the inside. "What is this place?" Drizzt asked. "It doesn't matter," Jarlaxle replied, starting across the room. Drizzt moved to respond, but Entreri intervened, grabbing Jarlaxle by the arm. "Enough," he said. "We follow you willingly, but enough of the secrets." "There is no time," Jarlaxle said, and he tried to pull away. "You waste more time by arguing," Entreri replied, and did not let go. "This is the tavern owner's personal quarters, and I paid him handsomely to allow us a short respite and only that. We are not staying," Jarlaxle explained. He moved to the back wall. He ran his hands along the planks of mushroom stalk, tapping and listening carefully. "Then why?" Entreri asked, or started to. Jarlaxle held up his hand to quiet the man. The mercenary leader produced his great hat from his tiny belt pouch, slapped it open against his leg, then reached inside and pulled forth a black disc of some satiny material. He spun it on his finger a couple of times, elongating it, then tossed it against the base of the wall, opening a portable hole in the structure and revealing a secret tunnel beyond. "Quickly," he instructed, motioning into the tunnel. "This will afford us the time we need." Drizzt went in, followed by Entreri. Jarlaxle came through last, removing the portable hole as he entered, and the wall was just a wall once more. The corridor stretched down a ramp, padded to silence footfalls, doubled back on itself, and continued to descend. They moved below the floor level, and lower still, beneath the tavern's wine cellar and into the sewers of the city. When they all dropped down into that smelly corridor, Entreri once more grabbed Jarlaxle and held him back. "Now explain." "There is no way out of that room save through magic, and any use of teleportation magic within the city would be detected." "There are wards set everywhere," the mercenary replied. "If enemies come against us, they will not know how we managed to leave that room, and the tavern keeper will honestly tell them that he set us up for capture." "What enemies?" Entreri asked. "Who knows we are here?" Drizzt added. "I will explain in time, but on the move," said Jarlaxle. "We have an opportunity here, but only if we are clever and only if we are quick." He rushed off, the others keeping pace. Despite the maze of sewers, Jarlaxle seemed quite confident in their course. Drizzt wasn't surprised. There was little Jarlaxle didn't know, after all, like the secret passageway in this particular building beyond the owner's room. Drizzt had no doubt that if enemies did come looking for the trio, the most surprised person upon discovering that they weren't in the room would be the tavern keeper himself. They emerged above ground far from the tavern, indeed far from the stench streets, and much farther along the west wall district of the city where sat House Doerden. There it was, the high balcony entrance off to their left, and Drizzt could only take a deep breath to steady himself at the sight of his former home. So many memories came rushing back to him then, of Vierna and Brisa, of Matron Mother Malice, of Zacnafane. Given what he knew now, given the grand deception awaiting his return to the surface, what did it matter after all? What did anything matter? The truth he now knew mocked his precious morals and principles. He looked around at his companions and felt a keen urge to draw his blades and slay Entreri then and there, be done with him. Damn him! Entreri was part of the lie that Drizzt had lived, and a focal point of the foolish optimism that had carried Drizzt through his days. Why did he ever think he could redeem this murderer, this petty assassin, this wretched and heartless beast? Drizzt caught himself, shook the thought away, and only then realized that he had drawn Icing Death halfway from its sheath. And Jarlaxle was speaking to both Drizzt and Entreri.
"Braylon told you the way to House de Werden was clear," Entreri replied to whatever it was Jarlaxle had said.
"No," said Jarlaxle, and he started away toward the west wall, but to the right and not in the direction of House de Werden.
"I saw it with my own eyes," Entreri protested, hustling to keep up.
"Where are we going?" Drizzt asked. "Be wary of pursuit," Jarlaxle warned. "House Hunsrin's war party was trying to intercept us and so steal the glory."
"Steal the glory?" Entreri asked. "The glory of catching us?"
"From whom?" Drizzt asked, finally catching up. And when he did, rounding a corner to come face up with the cavern's wall, Drizzt's breath caught in his throat. There in front of him stood one of the most distinct and strangely beautiful structures in Menzo Berenzon, indeed as beautiful as any building Drizzt had ever seen. Graceful and intricate webbing climbed up the wall, with great bridges of spider webs flying back and forth around it. Fairy fire was marvelously placed among those shining strands to accent the grace and feeling of movement the wall of webbing evinced.
"To steal the glory from their allies," Jarlaxle explained. "House Malarn."
Drizzt noted Entreri's curious and unsettled expression. "To any outside observer, my dear and trusted Braylon told us the clear way to our goal," Jarlaxle explained. "And he also told me that House Hunsrin had refused to ally with House Malarn against the Matron Mother. And so House Malarn had forsaken any immediate plans to deal with Dahlia and the abomination of House de Werden. He also told me that the arrival of First Priestess Ciri Zor-Lauren had shaken the resolve of any waiting enemies. Her loyalty to Matron Mother Xerath and Xerath's loyalty to Matron Mother Bayenri has made both Bayenri and de Werden untouchable." Now Drizzt's expression was no less unsettled than Entreri's. And Entreri echoed Drizzt's thoughts perfectly when he asked,
"Then why are we here, instead of House de Werden?"
"Because Braylon prefaced his report with this," Jarlaxle explained. And he held up his left hand and scraped his thumb over the back of his index finger, "which means that everything he subsequently told me was exactly opposite of the truth." And he picked his words most carefully. The other two digested that for a moment in light of Jarlaxle's report. Hunsrin and Malarn had joined in common cause and were going after House de Werden and Dahlia and right now, and they knew of the trio's arrival in the city.
"But then why are we here?" Drizzt asked.
"Because their eyes are elsewhere." Jarlaxle turned to Entreri. He took a mirror out of his bottomless pouch and held it up in front of the assassin. "Matron Mother Shakti Hunsrin," he explained. And Entreri's drow reflection shifted to become the image of the Matron Mother of House Hunsrin. "Use the mask to replicate this visage. The deception will be unsolvable, for the magic of Agatha's mask cannot be detected."
"You want me to turn yourself into Shakti Hunsrin and be quick about it," Jarlaxle ordered.
"We have an audience with Matron Mother Jindia Malarn."
"I need you to be better,"
Ivanel told Kjorl, sitting across the stoop from the psionicist, their hands joined in the magical meld.
"Stronger."
She felt Kjorl fall deeper into the magic of the holy water, felt her and followed her as the woman let go of her thoughts and sent them into and through the basin. They spun and twined and were one again when they escaped the room, Ivanel and Kjorl sharing the vision of their disembodied consciousness. Now Ivanel reached deeper, and instead of focusing her thoughts on the external images flying about them, on a sudden impulse she turned inward, into Kjorl. At first there was only darkness, and she could feel her partner resisting. She prodded with thoughts and promises of peace and comfort, of pleasure and not pain. So long had this woman been battered and tortured, so brutal had been her fall. Kjorl wanted to resist, but Ivanel wouldn't let go, and she even let Kjorl into her own thoughts to witness, naked, her sincerity. Ivanel had no desire or reason to torture Kjorl. It would offer her no benefit and give her no pleasure. Her offer, her promise, was real,
and Kyorl came to believe that, Ivanel knew, when those barriers began to thin and wash away. And a grand revelation followed when Ivanel began to understand the strange magic of the mind so much better. She didn't expect that she would learn psionics in this way, but the beauty of this melding was that Ivanel realized she didn't have to. She had a weapon. Kyorl was her weapon, and she could use the woman as readily as she might trigger a wand or fire a bow. She scoured the woman's thoughts, asking questions and finding answers. What powers might be available to her? What strange spells could she cast through the melding, through the instrument that was Kyorl? She eased her thoughts back to their surroundings. Their blended consciousness had escaped the room of divination once more, now moving about the corridors surrounding the room, which were mostly empty, as Ivanel had demanded. They witnessed Manolin Fay in a side chamber, lighting the many candles on a crystal candelabra, performing a common ceremony of meditation. Ivanel telepathically whispered to Kyorl Odrin, setting her mental fingers to the bowstring. Kyorl hesitated only briefly, only until Ivanel assured her that her future was not back in the pit of the Baelor Airtu. The joined women loosed the psionic arrow. Manolin Fay's thoughts scrambled under the invisible barrage. Her words slurred and became nonsensical. Her hands fumbled, the candle falling to the floor at her feet. The poor woman muttered, stammered, stuttered, garbled, gibberish spilling forth. The flames caught the bottom of her robe. She didn't even notice. Ivanel gasped with delight. "Stop," Ivanel at last instructed Kyorl, and the two let go their mental clamp. Manolin Fay nearly pitched over headlong, gasping back to her sensibilities. Still, it took her a few heartbeats to realize that she was on fire, and then she screamed, batting at her robes. Ivanel reached into her own magic, casting a simple spell to create water, thinking to douse her mother. But no, she found, she couldn't do that. She couldn't find any avenue to use her magic through the scrying stoop. Perhaps she would need to invite other Baenri priestesses to join her in ritual, as gatherings of priestesses did when waging war on another house, as the Malarni were likely soon doing, or perhaps even then doing, to House Doerden. She focused outward again. Manolin Fay had shed the gown and stumbled away. She leaned heavily against the wall, trembling hands reaching for the burns on one shin. Ivanel appreciated her mother's calm as Manolin Fay cast anew, a healing spell to repair the burns. As soon as that was completed, the priestess glanced around the side chamber, out of embarrassment or confusion, or perhaps fear. There was a wariness in her darting eyes, Ivanel noted, as if she sensed something. "So we are not fully invisible," Ivanel thought, and she felt Kyorl agree. "Still, what a wonderful weapon." Ivanel guided the blended consciousness back to the room of divination, then pulled her hands from the stoop and clapped them excitedly. "Oh, you are wonderful," she told Kyorl, when the woman blinked open her eyes. "The power of your mind is glorious. That you were able to extend it out through the divination, to so fully disembody our thoughts from our bodies, glorious. I, Kyorl stammered, not seeming to quite have a handle on all of this. "There are powerful crystal balls that offer telepathy through their scrying," Ivanel explained. "They are very rare. Many think them rumor and false legend, but we have done that here together. We can channel our power through the magic of the scrying waters." She was careful to say "our" instead of "your," and took great pains to concentrate and make sure the Kyorl was no longer in her thoughts. The last thing Ivanel wanted was for this prisoner to come to the realization that she had some measure of control. What a monster Kyorl Odrin might become within this room of divination. Could she sit there and attack her enemies from afar, secure in the midst of House Baenri? That was Ivanel's fear and her hope, as long as she could keep Kyorl under her guidance and her control. Ivanel realized then that she could no longer ever allow Kyorl to remain active with the scrying waters without her hands on top of the prisoner's hands, and her thoughts on top of the prisoner's thoughts. She sank her fingers back into the stone rim, felt again the soft hands of Kyorl within the magical device. "Come," Ivanel bade Kyorl. "Back out, quickly. Let us find Jarlaxle and his companions and see again through the eyes of the human in Treri." Kiri giggled as she exited the room, even before the cries of surprise and alarm erupted behind her.
Matron Mother Jindia and her cabal of priestesses were watching her, she knew, and so she was not surprised when the Malarni gathering reached out magically to slam the Doerden audience chamber doors behind her.
"What?" cried out one of the guards in surprise.
"Priestess Kiri," asked the other, but the woman was already several steps beyond them. Kiri swung about, eyes flashing.
"You are breaking the earth," she said to one of them, "and you are Bayenri," she called to the other in clearly accusatory tones.
The two young warriors looked at each other, then back at her, confused.
"Doerden," one replied, "but too late."
Balls of fire appeared in the air above each of the two, and lines of searing flame shot down over them, immolating them where they stood. Kiri laughed again. Matron Mother Jindia was with her. It had been so many years since she had been involved in an inter-house war, so many boring years. These wars showcased the epitome of drow battle prowess and glory, where priestesses hurled their magic across the city through scrying portals enacted by infiltrating agents like Kiri. These were the fights, priestess against priestess, where Lady Loth could fully determine the outcome. And now, with the guards writhing and dying on the floor, Kiri knew with all her heart that Lady Loth was with her cause. Priestess Kiri would depose Dahlia and Matron Mother Xerath at long last. Loth was with her, and would see a new House Zor-Lauren arise from the ashes of House Doerden and from the corpses of those Zor-Laurens who chose to side with Xerath. She looked again to the audience chamber guards, writhing on the floor pathetically, melting under the wrath of Loth. She heard the fighting in the audience chamber now. Even if her siblings and their allies won out in there, they would be too late to stop the coup. She pictured the spider-shaped table in House Malarn, brilliantly ornate and as fabulous as the one in the ruling council by all accounts, though Kiri had never actually seen the one in the chambers of the ruling council. Why didn't the other great houses of Menzo Baranzon have tables, gathering places for priestesses as beautiful as the one in House Malarn? Why wasn't a tribute like that commonplace? Surely House Zor-Lauren never had such a beautiful tribute to Lady Loth and all their vast compound. But House Doerden, soon enough to be the new House Zor-Lauren, would, Kiri vowed. She pictured the Malarni war room, the magnificent spider table set between the prized bronze doors, Matron Mother Jindia in her black gown, her war gown seated at its head. And they were with her now. Loth was with her now. "Quickly," Kiri heard in the air around her, and she smiled. It was Matron Mother Jindia reminding her, magically whispering to her, "Darthir is the key. You must be rid of her." Kiri was already moving in that direction, though she didn't agree with that estimation, and certainly not with the urgency in Jindia's voice. "She is a babbling idiot," Kiri whispered, knowing the Malarni priestesses could hear her. "She is no threat." "She is Bayenri's puppet," Matron Mother Jindia's voice sounded in the empty air beside her. "Kill her quickly, sever the tie." Kiri moved more deliberately. She dismissed her curiosity about her siblings and the others in the audience chamber. She would sort out the remains of that battle later. She heard other fighting then, echoing along the corridors. A young priestess rushed toward her from the side.
"High priestess," the younger woman cried. "They have made the balcony."
"They?"
"Hunsrin," the young woman explained. "Those guards who arrived have turned on us and have helped reinforcements to our balconies. Our enemies are in the house."
The frantic young woman turned to sprint away, but Kiri called to her.
"Who are you, young priestess?"
The woman turned and looked at her curiously, clearly perplexed by such a question at that critical time. "It is all right," Kiri assured her. "We will defeat the Stoneheads. Who are you?"
"Basula,"
she replied. Kiri studied her more closely, trying to remember this one. "Who is your mentor?" she asked. "Who sent you to House Doerden?"
"I serve High Priestess Osumtu in the Fane of the Goddess," Basula replied.
"Ah, you are Bayenri," Kiri said, nodding in recognition and smiling. And if Basula had been more perceptive, she would have known it to be the grin of a hunter.
"What are we to do? Where would you have me go?"
"Go?" Kiri asked incredulously.
"We are under a s—"
Her voice stopped as she froze in place, caught by a spell of holding cast by the Malarni priestesses. Kiri felt that magic flowing through her, and felt privileged indeed to be used as a conduit for the glory of the Spider Queen. She walked by the magically frozen Basula, lifting a hand to gently stroke the young priestess's smooth neck. She could see the terror in Basula's eyes, could feel the woman trembling slightly, but only slightly. The spell would allow nothing more. Kiri thought for a moment that she would keep this one, a plaything for her after victory was won. But no, she was Bayenri, Kiri reminded herself. Keeping her alive, if she was discovered, would give the matron mother all the excuse she needed to throw all her considerable weight at House Doerden. The same hand that so gently stroked Basula's throat now waved in the air, fingers casting a spell as Kiri passed. It was a simple poisoning Dwyamer, one that would normally kill a victim with little outward sign. But Kiri had cleverly altered this one, as much for the viewing pleasure of the Malarni priestesses as because she wanted this priestess, this Bayenri, to know the full horror of approaching death. Images of large spiders, as large as Kiri's open palm, appeared in the air all around the trapped priestess, floating on strands of glistening webs. They scrambled hungrily, the strands swaying. They leaped to the priestess's face and shoulders. She saw them, and they bit her. It didn't matter that they were magical illusions designed to simply add terror to the pain of the poisoning spell. They bit her, and she saw them biting, and she felt them biting. They bit her eyes, they crawled into her mouth, and they bit her tongue. One skittered down her throat and bit her all the way to her belly. Kiri walked away, confident that her display would please Matron Mother Jindia. She got confirmation of exactly that a dozen steps later, when the Malarni priestesses dispelled their holding spell, freeing Basula Bayenri. And the dying woman screamed and gurgled and choked on the sensation of spiders crawling down her throat. Sweet music to Kiri Zorlaren's ears. And Treri turned a doubtful look to Drizzt, who could only shrug, equally at a loss. Matron Mother Shakti? He asked doubtfully. A woman? Jarlaxle motioned to the mirror, which now showed the image of Shakti Hunsrin superimposed over his own reflection. You are insane. Let your thoughts align the images, Jarlaxle explained. And Treri looked to Drizzt. Dawdle, and we will be caught. And your dear Dahlia will be quite dead, I assure you, Jarlaxle cried. And Treri looked more deeply into the looking glass and offered a profound and resigned sigh. Agatha's mask turned back to a simple white stage mask for just a moment. Then it began to shift, and so too did in Treri's face and body, the illusion of Shakti Hunsrin coming to life before Drizzt's astonished eyes. Now what? And Treri asked, when the transformation was complete, and even his voice had changed. Jarlaxle pulled forth a wand, held its tip up to his temple, spoke a command word, and he too became a woman, a priestess of Loth. He looked at Drizzt and reminded him, You are a mere male, and these are fanatical Malarni. Two steps back and head bowed. Then he led the way to the webbed front of the Malarn compound. As they neared, Jarlaxle stepped behind Intreri, let all the detection magic focus on the matron mother of House Hunsrin, and so fail against the powerful magic of Agatha's mask. Just glare at them, he whispered to Intreri as the trio neared the house guards. Intreri did, and few in the world could freeze a target with a look as fully as Artemis Intreri, in any form. Oh, brilliant, Evenel exclaimed, as she and Kjorl watched Jarlaxle's group outside of House Malarn. He sorted through the webbing and strikes from behind. It pleases you when one house attacks another, Kjorl said. The interruption shocking Evenel so profoundly, she nearly pulled her hands from the stoop. Kjorl rarely spoke, other than to answer direct questions, and never before had she found the courage to interrupt Evenel, particularly not when they were in this melded state, their joined consciousness far from the room that held their corporeal forms. Jarlaxle is of no house, nor are his companions. But there is a war. You approve. Evenel opened her eyes and looked again back in the room of divination. Staring across the water that showed Jarlaxle and his friends in their disguises nearing House Malarn. She stared at Kjorl for a moment, then glanced into the stoop to regard the scene. On a sudden impulse and a sudden fear, she closed her eyes, and then breathed a sigh of relief to find herself looking through the eyes of Artemis and Treri. She was in two places at once, she thought, but then corrected herself. She could be in either of the places, here in her corporeal form, or out there with a disembodied consciousness, but not in both. She opened her eyes again to regard Kjorl, who grinned. That grin came as a warning to Ivanel. For while she could be in one place or the other, she only then realized that her prisoner was truly in both simultaneously. "I approve that the aggressor, House Malarn, will not ruin my plans," she telepathically told Kjorl. And Ivanel went back to the distant place inside the eyes of Artemis and Treri. "They are fanatical disciples of the Spider Queen," she both heard and felt Kjorl reply. So Ivanel tried the same. She forced her mouth to speak her response, but kept her eyes and sensibilities out there, approaching House Malarn. "As are we all," she said and thought. And she heard her voice in the background, and she sensed that her sudden mastery of this dual experience had caught Kjarl off her guard. "Yet some will win and some will lose. Too often do we attribute such outcomes to the favor of Lady Loth." "You do not believe in such a thing?" "I believe that Lady Loth favors those who are most expedient and clever among us. You should hope for that truth, Kjorl Odrin. In it you might find your salvation." Whatever threat she had sensed from Kjorl was gone then, vanished in the possibility of redemption, of salvation. She put her focus back to the situation at House Malarn, where Jarlaxle, Drizden, and Treri were approaching some wary house guards. Using Kjorl's powers, her psionic bow, Ivanel imparted suggestions of uneasiness and fear into those guards, who were clearly already intimidated, and why not with Matron Mother Shakti fast approaching? "To Matron Mother Jindia at once," Jarlaxle ordered the intimidated Malarni guards. "We will announce," one soldier started to reply, but Jarlaxle was ready for that, and even as the warrior started talking, Jarlaxle started casting through a ring he wore on his left hand. He gestured, and the guard melted into a slug on the ground at the base of the webbing. "To Matron Mother Jindia," Jarlaxle told the remaining soldier, and the mercenary squashed the slug with a grinding heel. Drizzt tried not to wince. He understood the stakes, of course, but the sheer brutality of Menzo Berenzon had caught him off guard. And the deaths were only just beginning. Drizzt scrambled to keep up, the surviving guard leading them quickly along the swinging web bridges. As they went, Jarlaxle emphatically and repeatedly signed to him and to Entreri, "Do not hesitate." Near the top of the webbed front, high from the cavern floor, the group went into the complex, which was organized much like a conch shell, with circling corridors winding tighter to the center, surrounded by small chambers all the way. Many dark elves noted their passage, with several dropping into polite bows at the sight of the matron mother of House Hunsrin. Jarlaxle had guessed right, Drizzt realized. Shakti had been here before, likely recently, and much was afoot now regarding the joint attack on House Doerden. How else to explain the deference being shown here, and the hustle to the audience chamber of the Malarn compound? At last, down one last side passage, they came to a pair of large bronze doors, decorated with jewels and detailed sculptures of Lolth and Driders and spiderwebs. "It is heavily warded," the leading Malarni guard explained, pausing. But Jarlaxle had an orb in hand. Whence it came, Drizzt did not know, and pushed right past the guard. He hurled the orb into the door, where it exploded into a puff of spinning, shining bits of some silvery material, all of which seemed attracted to the door. It settled there and began to pop with tiny explosions, and Jarlaxle, still appearing as a Hunsrin priestess, just stormed ahead and pushed right through the doors. And Treri, as Matron Mother Shakti, went with him. The guards started to protest, but only started. Drizzt took him down by slamming Twinkle's pommel into the back of the man's neck, dropping him to the floor. Beyond the doors, the room's curving walls formed an oval, longer than it was wide. A second identical set of doors stood closed directly across from them. Torches burned along the curving sidewalls, the flickering lights dancing across tapestries depicting the many glories of the Spider Queen. A circular table supported by 8 external spider-like legs stood in the middle of the floor, a priestess standing in each gap between the appendages. A large decorated golden bowl was set in the middle of the table, still water reflecting the torchlight.
A scrying bowl, Drizzt realized, and in the instant he considered it, he could guess easily enough that these priestesses were looking at House Doerden. It couldn't hold his attention for more than that instant, however. As he crossed the threshold into the room, Jarlaxle raised his clenched fist and enacted some magic, and the door swung shut behind Drizzt with a resounding slam. At that same moment, the priestess farthest from them, on the far side of the table, screamed in protest. "Matron Mother Shakti, you dare disturb us!" But Intreri didn't hesitate to answer the woman, who was obviously Matron Mother Jindia. He drew his blades and leaped ahead. Jarlaxle had told them not to hesitate, and the nearest Malarni priestess fell dead before she even realized she was being attacked. A twist of Drizzt's wrist on his belt buckle brought Tolmeril to his hand, an arrow going to it and flying away, and the priestess next to Intreri's victim gasped and folded over the table, neither her wards nor her enchanted robe sufficient to defeat the power of Drizzt's lightning missile. "Down!" Jarlaxle yelled, and Intreri dived to the side, and Drizzt went to one knee, setting another arrow. Jarlaxle reached inside the front of his blousy white shirt and brought forth a large red gem, which he hurled into the midst of the gathering of priestesses, bouncing it right under the table, where it exploded into a devastating fireball. In the flames, Drizzt could still pick out a second target. Away went his next arrow, and another priestess tumbled. As the flames abated, Intreri went forward, and it was Intreri now. He tore the mask from his face, reverting to his human form. He leaped into the midst of a pair of priestesses, standing along the right-hand side of the table, both of them with wisps of smoke rising from their gowns, both of them clearly shaken, but also beginning their spellcasting. Karin's claw and that deadly jeweled dagger went to work, though, and the two Malarni priestesses became too concerned with diving away to continue their spells. A third arrow led Drizzt's way to the table, but his intended target, the matron mother directly across the way, already had a powerful ward in place. The arrow exploded in a firework burst of multicolored lights before it could reach its mark. Drizzt hardly noticed. He dropped his bow and drew out his blades, leaping over to the table's left-hand side. But the moment of surprise was over. If these had been common drow, all eight in the room would have been slain in short order, dead before they could begin to react. But these were priestesses of the Spider Queen, zealots all, including the matron mother of House Malarn and the first priestess of the powerful house. Three were down, one by Intreri's blades, two by Drizzt's arrows. A fourth had been wounded in Intreri's charge, but still fought, and a fifth was on the floor, having dived from the assassin's charge, and there she knelt, fingers gesturing. Behind them, the doors exploded open once more, compelled by a countering spell from Matron Mother Jindia, and Drizzt heard the charge of Malarni reinforcements. And he and his companions had nowhere to run.